Well, I'd like to start by wishing everyone a Happy New Year. Who enjoyed the warm day yesterday? Okay, no hands went up, so I guess no one. That's all right then. Let's pray before we continue and open up God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together today to look at your Word. And I pray that through your Holy Spirit, that you'll speak to each of us, challenge us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're now in the seventh day of 2018, or 2018, depending on how you like to say it. A new year has begun, and I wonder what 2018 will have in store for each of us. Maybe you've asked yourself that same question already. Or maybe you've asked yourself another question like, will I be as busy this year? Will I make better use of my time? Will I keep the promises or New Year's resolutions that I made? How will our kids and grandkids go this year? Or you might even ask, how will my walk with God go this year? Will I spend more time or less time reading my Bible and praying to God? And then there are the questions that we think about, but we don't always like to talk to others about. And these questions, they can relate to money. For example, how will I pay the bills? Or there could be those at the other end of the scale, and you could be thinking, what will I spend my money on? Another question that we don't always like to ask or talk about is our health. And you might ask yourself, will my health be better this year compared to last year? Or you might even ask, will I see all of 2018 or will God call me home to glory before the year is through? Now these last few questions relating to money and death, they aren't the easiest or nicest of questions that we can ask ourselves or think about. But unfortunately, they are a part of life, and we can't avoid them. And today, we're continuing with our January theme of looking at a psalm. And today's psalm looks at the topic of wealth and death. Aren't these two exciting topics to start the new year off with? Now, most of the psalms that were written in our Bible, they refer to prayer and praising God. But in Psalm 49, the psalmist is preaching or instructing the audience on the topic of wealth and death. And so I've come up with a 15-second summary of this psalm. And my summary is that it is pointless for us to put our trust in worldly possessions, because at some stage we're all going to die. And when we die, we can't take our possessions or money with us. And our possessions and money, they can't buy our forgiveness from sins. Now that's my 15-second summary of Psalm 49. But there are a few verses that I'd like us to look at in more detail. And firstly, in verse 1, the psalmist demands our attention as they say, "Hear this, all you people. Listen, all who live in this world." The psalmist is demanding that we listen to what they have to say because the message that they're about to give is important. Right, now, let's be honest, who can remember the 15-second summary that I gave of this psalm just before? All right, rough to a good start here. That's good. Well, let me give it to you again. Okay, we're all going to die. You can't take your possessions with you when you die. And your possessions and wealth can't buy you forgiveness. In verses 7 and 8 of this psalm, it says, "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them." The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. Now, back in the ancient world, for a slave to gain their freedom, they had to be redeemed or ransomed. In other words, someone had to pay the price so that that slave could be free. Now, each of us, we all need setting free from sin. And it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, you cannot buy your freedom. No one can pay the purchase price for you. The good news, though, is that God has provided a way for us, and that is through his son Jesus. Now, Christmas, it was less than 2 weeks ago, and at Christmas we remembered that God sent his son, Jesus, to earth so that he could grow up and die in our place so that we can live. Jesus, he's paid the price for you, for me, and for everyone else, and it's because of Jesus' death and resurrection that we can be set free from sin and have a new life with God, and we can live for eternity in heaven. Now in Romans chapter 10 it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As believers in Jesus, death isn't something that we need to be afraid of. When I die, I know that I'm going to heaven for eternity. And as this verse in Romans chapter 10 tells us, the only way we can get to heaven is by believing in Jesus. That is how we can have eternal life. You can't buy your way into heaven with your money or possessions. Now in verse 16, the psalmist says, "Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendour of their houses increases." Now, Australia is considered to be a lucky country. It is ranked as one of the richest countries in the world. We have food to eat, clean water to drink, a roof over our heads and clothing to wear. Our daily needs are all met. And compared to many countries around the world, we are quite wealthy. And I don't think that any of us here today have experienced what it is like to really be hungry, to be homeless, or to struggle to cover ourselves with clothing. God has blessed all of us. But in this verse, the psalmist is reminding us that we shouldn't be jealous of the rich. We shouldn't want what others have. Now, I'll be honest. There have been times when I've wished that I owned that mansion that I saw on realestate.com, with a long, winding driveway, trees down either side, and that big swimming pool, especially in the weather like yesterday. Or I've wanted that boat or that trailer floated with motorbikes that's pulled up next to me at the traffic lights. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one here who has wanted something else that someone else has. We can be jealous of the possessions that others own. And we can be jealous of those who have lots of money. And according to my Google research that I did this last week, the number of billionaires in the world increased by 13%. In 2017. And according to Google, the richest person in the world at the moment is Jeff Bezos, and he's the founder of Amazon, and he has a net worth of $98.2 billion. That's a lot of money. Now, for Jeff Bezos, the richest person in the world at the moment, his wealth and possessions, they're only there for like a short period of time. And the fact is that now, if you or I, if we owned all that money, or that mansion on realestate.com, or that boat and trailer with motorbikes on it, or whatever it is that you desire or want at the moment, when we die, we can't take any of those possessions with us. Worldly possessions, yes, they can bring us enjoyment, but they can also be a threat to our spiritual life, as they can distract us from pursuing God. And that's because we can spend all our time, our energy, and money pursuing our interests. And our interests, they can distract us from using our resources in a way that honours God. I think that 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 7 is a great reminder, as it says, "For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it." We need to make sure that we're not jealous of what other people have. We need to make sure that the things that we do own, they don't distract us from pursuing our relationship with God. In verse 20, it's another important verse from this psalm, as it says, "People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish." Now, if you had $1 billion, would you give it to your teenage child so that they could do with it whatever they wanted to? No, I don't think any of us would. And the reason is because that amount of money would destroy them. It would destroy their life. And the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, it's a great example of what someone can do when they have that much money. They don't make wise decisions. And it doesn't matter how old you are, we all need to make wise decisions with our money and our possessions. And these days, you know, we're all encouraged to plan for retirement. And we can do that by putting our money into our superannuation. And that's a wise thing to do. Spending time with our family and providing for our family so that there's enough food and water and shelter and clothing for our family. That's a wise thing to do. We need to be wise with these decisions. And the good news is that God also wants us to be wise. But in order for us to be wise, we need to know what God's will is. And we also need to place our trust in God, trusting that God will provide for us. And one way that we can do that, one way we can find out what God's will is by studying God's word. Because when we don't know what God's will is, then we end up making foolish decisions and we begin to seek worldly pursuits and pleasures. So the next time you're going out to purchase, you know, that new mobile phone or that new bigger and better TV or the newest model car, you can ask yourself, is this item going to make a difference in how I serve God? Will these items matter in eternity? Now, in recent months, I've seen how members of our parish have made wise decisions, and they've been very generous with what God has blessed them. As a parish, we completed about 50 shoeboxes that we sent off to Operation Christmas Child. And the giving of these shoeboxes provides ways in which families can hear about Jesus through their local churches. Through the generosity of people here, the teens were able to bless 10 families by giving out 10 huge, big hampers. As a parish, we have purchased many items off the tear gift tree, and these purchases will certainly bless others around the world. As a parish, we gave lots of money to pay off the renovations, and it's exciting to see how God is going to use the buildings in this coming year and in future years. And another way in which we've made wise decisions is by financially supporting missionaries, so that missionaries can go and share the gospel message with others. God wants us to be wise so that we can invest in things that will help people to enter heaven. And so that we don't make the same mistake as the farmer did in our second reading from Luke chapter 12. In our second reading from Luke chapter 12, we read a parable that Jesus told about a wealthy farmer who worked hard and made lots of money. He built bigger and better barns so that he could store his grain and goods and so they could take life easy. But one night God spoke to this farmer and God said, "You fool, tonight you are going to die and you can't take this stuff with you." The man was rich, but when it came to God, he was very poor. And this parable, it's a sobering parable because it reminds us that this man, he had no problems with his farming skills or even with his money management. His problem, as Jesus diagnosed it, was his attitude toward his wealth and his possessions. This farmer was responsible to God for the things that God had given to him. And because of greed, he used it for himself rather than honouring God and serving others. He was far from wise in how he used his wealth. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, Jesus instructs us by saying, "Do not store up riches for yourselves here on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and robbers break in and steal. Instead, store up riches for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and robbers cannot break in and steal. For your heart will always be where your riches are." This verse is the opposite to what society tells us we should do. And in the lead up to Christmas, companies, they spent millions of dollars in advertising, trying to entice us to buy their products and trying to make us think that if we buy these products, we'll be happier, we'll be more fulfilled, and we'll be comfortable. But Psalm 49 and the parable of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, they remind us that this isn't the way that it works. Worth and power, they come and they go. We might have them for a little while, but they are not an end in themselves. We need to be wise in how we use what we have. We've been entrusted to it, use it, so that we can bring glory to God. And it doesn't matter how clever you are, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, it doesn't matter how many important people you know, one day we are all going to die. And Psalm 49 reminds us that our life can either be a temporary distraction Or it can be preparation for the long term, when we're in heaven for eternity. And now we've just started a new year, and this is a good time to check up on your money and possessions and see where you have them invested. And we can all do that by asking ourselves a few questions, like, how do I feel regarding the things that God has blessed me with? Are these things mine? Am I a good steward with what God has given me? Am I generous? And when you have honestly answered these questions, then you can take the necessary steps to either place your investments where they really count, or to keep investing in the things that God has called you to invest in. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you have blessed each of us in different ways. But Lord, we're sorry for the times when we've spent our money on things that aren't going to last. Help us to use what you've given to us so that we can bring glory to your name. And help us to continually look for ways in which we can invest in eternity by using the things that you have given to us to serve others, and so that others can also come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.